One day more, another day, another destiny, this never-ending road to Calvary.
Yes, there is one more day of the campaign 2012. Welcome to The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening, and especially you folks down there in Austin, Texas, at the great station of KUT. Welcome to the program. Yes, one more day in the 2012 election, and the miserables who have been covering it for so long are left with a feeling that the end is a lot like the beginning. Divided America, divided government, close campaign, lots of number crunching. But America's direction, if you listen to the pundits and pollsters, is just in the fog going forward, or stuck in the same. You don't need any examples of traditional punditry, but we thought we'd allow you the chance to hear some untraditional, yes, punditry, I guess, one voter at a time. Here's some Obama spin.
I think he spent too much time being on the attack against Romney.
Some late in the campaign takeaways.
The Hurricane Sandy was the October surprise.
Life is going to get harder on Wednesday because Congress is going to come back and they're going to start acting like idiots again.
Some true voter dissatisfaction.
And I'm concerned that they're not always committed to self-sacrificially serving the American people.
Concern about the economy.
I'm looking for the candidate that's going to help create jobs.
And one solid prognostication.
I'm predicting a big Romney win tomorrow, by the way.
Those are all voices of self-described independent voters who have witnessed this campaign with us on The Takeaway for months now. They speak from the heart. Unscientifically, this is no poll, but we thought we'd leave you with their last impressions of a long campaign. Here's Kim Lobey, who you just heard from. She's a 54-year-old registered Republican, married with three children, one in college, two recently graduated. She helps run a private school in Ohio.
I don't think anything has really changed much for me. It's probably, I think the things that have happened have probably made me feel even better about my voting for Mitt Romney. And a couple of the things that Obama said towards the end, one in particular that I really think was the straw that broke the camel's back was when he made the comment about his, when he was arguing with Mitt Romney about their 401ks, and he more or less flippantly implied that he didn't even look at his 401k. And I thought to myself, if he's not a watchdog for his own, he certainly must not care much about all of the citizens of his country. For me, that was definitely made me feel even better about voting for Mitt, because I think Mitt, I'm hoping and praying that Mitt brings the success that he's brought to the private enterprise and actually as governor to the White House. And I think that's something Obama hasn't done yet. Time to move on.
And you voted for Barack Obama 4 years ago, yes?
Yes, I did.
And was there anything Obama could have done to have kept your vote?
I think if he had created more jobs and had done a better job in the last 4 years as president, I might have considered voting for him again, but no, at this point, not.
All right, Kim Lobey, thanks so much for being with us in this long haul.
Okay, all right, John, thanks so much. I'm predicting a big Romney win tomorrow, by the way.
Kim Lobey is a school teacher and for private school, a voter in Ohio, the battleground state, of course. Very different impression from one of our other voters, Julia Pfaff. You may recall she said a moment ago that Congress will act like idiots once again on Wednesday morning after the election. She's a professor at a college in Virginia and someone who takes her voting decision, we learned, very seriously.
I don't want to reward obstructionist behavior on the part of a Republican Congress. While I don't feel that President Obama has been as strong a leader as I would have wanted him to be, I do think he has accomplished things. More than anything else, Congress, I think, is broken, and I don't think either one of them are going to have an easy time working with Congress, and I'm afraid that if Romney gets elected, then we reward the Republicans, which then tells the Democrats that that behavior works, and they just start, you know, it's the same, it's the last 4 years all over again, only with the part of the Republicans being played by the Democrats and the part of the president being played by Romney.
Hey, Julia, what kind of a professor are you there at George Mason University?
I actually teach a research methods class to international students.
Uh-huh. Well, that's a very thoughtful analysis there. I would think that if the GOP is looking for a verdict on this election, depending on what the outcome is, you're saying a thoughtful voter who doesn't want to reward obstructionist behavior is going to go Obama in the end here, and if they reach out to find evidence for that, they're going to find it.
Yep, I think so. And I actually think that life is going to get harder on Wednesday because Congress is going to come back and they're going to start acting like idiots again. And it's scary because I'm afraid this fiscal cliff and all of these huge problems are going to continue to be politicized, even though the next presidential election will be 4 years off and the next congressional election is 2 years off, but they're so stuck in constantly campaigning.
All right, Julia Pfaff. So it sounds to me like you're in the Obama column at this point.
Yep, I'm going to vote Republican in my congressional election, oddly enough, but I have a 20-year incumbent. And I'm going to vote for the Democrat, Tim Kaine, in my senatorial election because I truly do believe he will work across the aisle, and that's what we need.
All right, a little data point there on the Virginia Senate race, which is a very tight and important contest as well. Julia Pfaff, thanks so much.
All right, bye-bye. Have a good day.
Julia Pfaff, adjunct professor at George Mason University down in Virginia. And then there was Rick Robel, an attorney from Ohio, the toughest of our voter crew, toughest on me and on the way the candidates have run the campaigns.
Unfortunately, it's been political hype rather than facts and critical thinking. It's the media that, and you're an exception, by the way, but so much of the media is caught up in favoring one candidate or another and pushing political views rather than giving us independent journalism. It's one of the things I like about The Takeaway. I think you all try to be fair and balanced and give critical thinking and real journalism in the way you report on these
things. Hey, Rick, we're not running for anything. Now, you don't have to say that. let's be clear now. What are you most concerned about in terms of issues facing the country for whoever makes it into the White House tomorrow?
Well, I think the political system needs to be changed. We need to get rid of these things that are creating professional politicians who run the country for the purpose of getting themselves reelected. We need to get rid of the strong power of special interest groups and lobbyists. We need to get rid of gerrymandering. We need to get rid of this notion that money is the same thing as free speech and that there should be unlimited spending for political advertising. We need to give independents a fair chance to run for elections. There's no reason whatsoever why independents should not be allowed to be called independents on electoral ballots. So those are key political infrastructure things that need to be fixed. And I think that we have two candidates who are running as commander-in-chief who have never served in the U.S. Armed Forces. And I think if you saw the debates on foreign policy, you could see the effects of that. Neither really understand the way the military works or the defense establishment. Remember that defense spending is the largest portion of our national budget. How can you possibly have someone address that portion of the national budget who's never served in uniform?
Rick Robel, we got to go, but so I got to put a question mark by your name?
You can put a question mark with leaning heavily towards Obama.
All right, Rick, it's been great having you for the long haul here.
Yes, sir. Good talking to you. It's like having an old friend. Good luck to you, John.
All right. Well, we'll stay friends. Rick Robel, head of a law firm in Ohio on the campaign. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Bye.
So if it was a lost opportunity with Obama and Mr. Robel, it was just the exact opposite for Horacio Soberón Ferrer down in South Florida. Obama really missed his chance with Horacio.
The president has had time to explain what he's going to do for the next 4 years. And I don't think that he has not, to my satisfaction. So I think I'm going to go for Romney.
So basically, you've had it with the last 4 years. You're ready to completely reset the table here.
Well, not really. Not really. I think that the president was left with a pretty bad situation. He made promises, and perhaps at that time, he thought he would be able to deliver, but he wasn't. He tried to explain why he couldn't, but he did not set a good roadmap for the next 4 years. That's what I think.
All right. What do you think of what one of our other independent voters said, is that electing Mitt Romney rewards the obstructionist behavior of the Republican Congress, and that the Democrats are going to see, okay, great, this is what works. For the next 4 years, we're going to shut everything down in the Senate, and that electing Mitt Romney actually rewards the bad behavior, not the other way around. What do you say to that?
Well, I think that there is a kernel of truth to that. However, I think that the challenge for the president is to chink that armor. That is to start bringing, drilling in one by one. and work with individual senators and individual key people in Congress from the other party to bring them in.
Well, Horacio, it's been great having you along for the ride here on the campaign.
Well, it has been my pleasure.
I feel like I've learned a lot from you.
Well, thank you very much. I like to listen to your program.
And I also feel as though, man, you're in the social services. You're the CFO for a social services nonprofit down there as a Mitt Romney voter. Man, you are one South Florida fish out of water.
Oh, completely. Completely.
Well, I admire you for sticking to your guns.
Okay.
Horacio Soberon Ferrer, thanks so much.
Well, thanks to you.
And then there was Barbara Diamond, who owns a cab company up in New Hampshire. She was having a cup of coffee, waiting for a fare when we spoke to her.
I'm definitely going to get out there and vote tomorrow. I want to vote for somebody who is going to help jobs and help, you know, rebuild the infrastructure and move the economy forward.
Now, what was decisive for you? Have you made up your mind?
I'm leaning more towards Obama than Romney. There's issues with Romney that just I'm just not comfortable with. My biggest problem with him is the way he is handling women's rights. I get the definite impression that if he had things his way, women would be at home cooking and cleaning and having dinner on the table for their husbands when they get home. You know, that's the impression.
Where did you get that impression? Where'd you get that impression?
He said he wanted to cut funding for Planned Parenthood, that he wanted to, you know, not make abortions available for women who have, you know, rape or incest, and then he changes his mind later on because the public doesn't like it. I mean, he said at the, you know, when he was first started running that he was a Mormon and he plans to base what he does on his Mormon beliefs and values, and he's done nothing to change that. So it's like I like my women's rights, and I'm really afraid that he's gonna do things to take away women's rights.
It's Barbara Diamond, owner of a taxi company in New Hampshire, driving this morning up there in the state. And part of our best political team in the galaxy, we like to call them here on The Takeaway, independent voters. You can go and hear more of those voices at thetakeaway.org. And, of course, you're a part of this conversation.
It's George in South Carolina. Everybody's talking about who's voting for who. Nobody's covering the fact of who's voting against candidates. A lot of us don't really like either choice.
Is that the Game of Thrones theme that you're playing? Yes, we love it. Yes, you're listening to The Takeaway. Whether you like them or not, how'd you make your decision? We'd love the story. What was the moment that helped you make it? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Coming up.
Hi, I'm sorry to bother you. I'm Jody, and this is TJ, Larry, and Faith, and we're actually just out checking with Election Day coming Tuesday if you're going to be able to vote.
Pennsylvania's out of reach. Nobody told Mitt Romney. Influx of cash has volunteers in that state. Todd Zwillick joins us. Retail politics up close and personal. It's no game. It's The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.